Justice Wisconsin, the truth. The most requested advocate in the state. 101.7 FM. The movement continues. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
Milwaukee, stand yeah. up, yeah. stand up.
It's Tory Lowe, the truth, from one to four. We about that action, so tap in and let's go. We want that justice, we want all the smoke. From Monday through Friday, trying to bring the city hope. Yeah, Tory Lowe, from one to four, Monday through Friday, let's go. We about that action from the block, and we ready, let's go. Tap in, and it ain't no holding back. We ready, we ready.
101.7 The Truth. Tory Lowe Show, live from American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue. The movement continues. The marathon continues right here on 101.7 The Truth. Thank you for joining me for the second hour of the Tory Lowe Show. And if you want to see us live, go to 101.7 The Truth on YouTube and get in the chat. Hey, look, we got another guest, Matt Pinelli. Matt Pinelli in the building, and this is an interesting story because you beat cancer.
True.
And you also have MS.
Also true.
Can you explain for those that are listening that I think that because your story is interesting and you were diagnosed with cancer. What was going on?
Well, the cancer diagnosis was one of those things where, as humans, we take showers in the morning to get ready for our day.
Mm-hmm.
And if we, I don't know if you remember, you know, back when MTV was popular and they had television shows, and if you remember a terrible Canadian comic, Tom Green.
Had right. Crazy Tom Green.
You remember the song?
Yes.
Well, let me tell you, 11 years ago, when I'm in the shower and felt the lump, I started singing that song because it really was, I can't even believe that he taught me that I probably had testicular cancer.
Oh, wow.
Ironic that, yeah, and then I went to the doctor about a month later because I was terrified to go and have them prove it right. And, yeah, had the surgery, kind of just recovered from that, did follow-up for, I think, I don't know. I'm at the 11 year mark. When I called them last time to ask when I had to check in, they said if you notice anything, call us.
Okay.
So we're at that point in time.
And you also have MS.
Yeah, that was diagnosed the very next year.
Oh, so you're going through a lot of these different medical situations. What's going through your mind when you're hearing this information?
The cancer was scary, but simple as far as it was very, this is what you need to do is you go to the doctor, we have the surgery. The recovery options are you can do chemo, radiation, mm-hmm. or follow-up. They're all relatively the same percentage of success. So I said, no nasty chemicals in my body, please, and did the follow-up. And then when I went to go get diagnosed, or I didn't go to get diagnosed, I had back issues, and I went to an orthopedic doctor because I thought of that. And the worst thing a doctor can ever say when they look at your x-ray is say, that's unremarkable, or I didn't see anything remarkable, which even for a simple guy like me, I knew that was just him saying normal.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, you got to go get an MRI because you might have multiple sclerosis. I didn't even know what it was.
Mm.
I was like, I thought of Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS stuff, because
right.
I literally was 31, didn't have a clue. And once I got it confirmed, it was just it wasn't fun, but it was, I was like, okay, I got to.
So another challenge.
Yeah, really. Yeah, it was something I have to deal with. It was sort of just a task to handle.
Well, you, I see that you have been able to fight. You're a fighter. You cancer. Okay, let's take this on. Then all of a sudden, okay, we got hit with MS. And to me, that's powerful that you were able to not say, okay, I'm a victim. I'm going to battle this. And now you're taking on another battle. Well, TMJ4 has an article on your next battle that you're trying to do. Let's listen.
Pushing through a pain not easily seen by others.
I don't remember the last moment in time that I didn't hurt.
Matt Pinelli has a big goal in mind.
I want to climb Mount Kilimanjaro this August.
At the YMCA in Wauwatosa, he's training for a feat not many could accomplish on a good day. Yet Matt, who is fighting an ongoing battle with multiple sclerosis, is determined to make the climb.
He is one of the most inspirational people that I know. His drive and perseverance and finding out his story and seeing that drive is incredible.
Matt says his goal is to help others struggling to find hope in his journey as he manages not only his MS, but a life filled with hardship.
He's furious with life.
An experience that for Matt's dad, Ed, was hard to witness.
Some of the things that he was saying worried me. You really think you've got it bad? Let me tell you something. He lost his mother. He gets smacked in the face with cancer.
Wow.
And then, oh, by the way, let's throw MS at you. And he still got up.
Since deciding to summit Kilimanjaro, Ed says he's seen big positive changes in his son, both physical and mental. Matt, now more motivated than ever.
Invigorating, like, where I will not fail. The only way I will fail is if my last breath leaves my body.
All right, look. Mount Kilimanjaro?
Yeah.
What? I mean, okay, out of all it, because I can believe, because sometimes the energy that you have inside, sometimes you can see what kind of energy a person has inside by the task they decide to take on.
Yeah. Kilimanjaro was, I have a connection. I backpacked through the Australian Outback when I was 19. Through the National Outdoor Leadership School. It's a program. Well, all the kids I met through there were random kids throughout America. One of those gentlemen last August suggested, hey, we should get a reunion. It's been about 21 years. Another friend, his name is Drew. He has a company called Beyond Adventures that literally climbs Mount Kilimanjaro. So my other friend, DeLoss, was like, that's our reunion. We should do a crazy trip, and we should work with Drew and climb Kilimanjaro. And I thought it was the coolest idea, but I didn't text them that I was like, no, never in life is that possible for me. I get, if you see me at the Y after a few laps, sometimes I look like the wobbliest person ever.
Right.
And this is part of me kind of coming over the mental health hurdle, because end of last year I had to put down, I had a 3-year-old cat that, this is where I'm soft as a marshmallow. I got her at the beginning of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And we really connected. It's the closest thing I've ever had and probably will ever have to a child. And her sickness came out of nowhere, and it paralleled a lot of my mother's sickness back when I was 19. And it unleashed a lot of that deep-seated grief. And I was in a really dark place. But, Tori, I don't abide by the hurt people mentality.
Right.
I mean, I get it, but I don't.
You don't want to play the victim.
Yeah. It's for me, is I was in a really hate relationship with life at the end of 2023. And for me, my hate, I want to push out love to, I don't like that feeling. It's not great. I say to people, as I would have been happy on January 31st of 23 if I didn't see December 31st of 23, if I wouldn't have seen January 1st of 24. But my friend Drew had commented on a Facebook post in January when we were beating the brakes off the 49ers. That did not last.
Don't remind me.
I know. And he commented August 3rd through 13th. And I was like, I was driving home from Missouri in a kind of a not great mood, because I was coming back. Me and my sister had a little bit of a tiff, but I was visiting my nephews, who I love more than anything on earth. And then I started thinking about Drew's post. And I was just like, I'm not going to curse, but it's the biggest FU thought I ever had in my life, where I was like, cancer. I was like, I'm climbing this mountain. I was going to cash out my 401k, spend the rest of my savings to, one, pay for the trip, but also film it. And that's.
Was you planning on coming back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, and if I didn't, right, I was like, I was going to.
Good question.
Hey. I mean, I'm just asking.
Yeah. No, it was one of those where, like I said on the interview, it's more of a skill versus will situation, because my will is, again, it's.
How do you train to climb a mountain? And how big is this mountain, Mount Kilimanjaro?
I believe It is 19,341 feet in elevation. You will have to Google and fact check me on that, everyone. It's the highest freestanding mountain in the world, the highest point in Africa. Mm-hmm. I know the journey itself because I've talked to Drew and he's done the trip before. It's 54 miles of just miles and then 13,000 plus feet in elevation change, different climate zones.
How many days do it take to climb the mountain?
About five.
Because you sleep on the side.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I just had a...
Damn.
Whew.
Wait. He said he's going to film it. No, so this is where I came in. He says, so I'm going to go to Africa, Godzilla. And I said, really? And so you're going to climb a mountain?
Really?
He said, yeah. I said, you know you can die doing this, right? He said, yeah, I know.
Are you going to?
No. I'm sending my crew. This is where. When I realized what's going to happen.
You out of your damn mind.
I said, I'm not going. I ain't going. I'm sending the crew.
Hold on, wait a minute. So you gotta learn how to camp sleeping on the side of a mountain. I seen this on a video where that you can set up something where you can sleep.
Yeah.
When you're climbing up, right?
Oh, what is it? I believe they're called billabongs. That's wrong. That's the water place. But I can't remember there. But you're right. There is a specific thing. But we did 3 months in the Australian Outback. Legitimately, this was it was in essence like being dropped in Wisconsin where there were no people in Wisconsin and say, hey, get to Illinois. And then I done the Sierra Nevadas when I was in high school. And I know there was a 20-year gap in between in my adult life because, you know, we had to try and be a real adult, which was kind of lame.
That's to me, Godzilla, look.
Well, you should have seen the look on my face when he said it to me.
I'm just saying,
I was like, okay, what do we do next?
Now, so, I can walk from Milwaukee to Washington, D.C.
You have done this.
I've done that. That's going straight.
Yes, it's not up.
That's not up.
Not up.
To be fair, there's the Appalachian Mountains, so give yourself a little more credit there.
Mm. You had to do that, yes. You had a lot of other things you was dealing with that wasn't terrain.
Right.
We'll move on from that.
This is culture.
But back to Matt. So Matt comes to me and we make a video. We make his video for a GoFundMe. So I said, Matt, you can't spend all your life savings on the Kilimanjaro. Let's make a GoFundMe. People will give you money for this.
Help you out.
Right. So we made a GoFundMe, and the first couple of days it was smooth. But I looked at it and I said, hey, Matt, you don't have MS in the title of the GoFundMe.
Mm-hmm.
And he put it in there, and he put the MS in the title of the GoFundMe, and the next day TMJ4 called him.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point on, I think this is his third press this week
his
climb.
You know, the thing is, we wish you the best. And we hope when you're done, come back.
You got to come back. We got to bring the documentary
for
back.
Sure.
We have to bring the documentary back because I'm sitting back.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
A lot of people, you know, want to know if you can make it back alive. But the thing is, you have been in life and death situations with cancer, with your health. You've seen your mother, like you said, go through things, your cat. You know, so do you fear death? You may have grown to be... Fearless.
He got to do the Davy Jones snarl when he says that. You fear death?
I was actually more scared to come talk to you because I've never... all I've ever done is call into a radio show and hope that I was a little funny. But this, honest to God, I was more scared of coming in here and talking to you guys than actually doing it.
Oh, okay. Well, how can we keep up with you? How can we follow your journey?
Well, on social media, on Instagram, I'm literally at Mr. Pennelly. On Twitter, I guess now X, I'm at Realist Lamb. That's a nickname it's from Lamont Westmoreland. He's running for alderman currently in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And those are my main social platforms. I'm on Facebook, Matt Pennelly.
GoFundMe.
If you go to GoFundMe and were to search just Matt and Kilimanjaro, it will be the first thing to populate. But I would love you all the help and support because, yeah, I'm going to make this a movie. And like you said, I'll cash out my 401k to pay for it if I have to.
Oh, wow.
We're going to avoid that. We're going to work hard. We're going to do this press. We're going to get help from good friends like you on the Toy Low Show at 101.7 to 2.
And the help that I've gotten so far is I'm so shocked that people think this story is like is so intriguing. I was like, it's all right, I guess. But
hey, look, let me tell you something. That's a risk. You know, you climbing a mountain. How many people die climbing mountains?
Probably a lot more than don't.
Right. I mean, they never live to tell about it.
I actually just saw I saw a video today of a skier shoveling a snowboarder out. He just happened to have been going through down a mountain and ran through some bushes and saw a board in the snow. And it, 5-minute video. He still hadn't finished dugging him out, but that dude wasn't going to make it. He was face down. It was over.
I saw that video when it first came out. He sheer happenstance. Like it was the divine said, yo,
go that way between that these way. Trees.
And he caught
a
glint of sun off the bottom of his board.
Yep.
Approximately 30 to 50,000 people ascend Mount Kilimanjaro every year. On average, 3 to 10 people die each.
That's not
year.
A lie. You got good
that's
eyes.
That's not a lie.
That's good eyes, man. Yeah.
Well, that's good
choke
eyes.
Choke on a Snicker
I
faster.
Got that, man.
Oh, wait a minute. Now that I heard the statistics, I might go over there. And
there we go.
I might try to do this.
I heard 54-mile hike. I'm still saying my crew.
I heard out of thousands of people, only 3 to 4. Hey, I might.
3 to 10.
It's doable.
Yeah, 3 to 10.
It's doable.
Well, I appreciate you for coming through, man.
No, thank you so much for having me.
And like I said, when it's over with, when you get to the top of Kilimanjaro, and get back over here and let us know what took place. I appreciate you for coming through.
Bet. Thank you so much for having me. This was amazing. Thank you so much for your support.
All right. All right, Godzilla.
Right on.
Yeah.
Hey, all right, Miss Braxton. Hey, look, yes. I appreciate you, Phyllis.
Miss Braxton, if you're nasty.
And on that note, we'll be back with more conversation, Truth Nation.
See y'all later.
Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
I know that's right.
Don't touch that dial. The Tory Lowe Show will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is the Tory Lowe Show on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Down at my diamond and crush the piece, thinking no one man should have all that power. The clock's ticking, I just count the hours. Stop chipping, I'm tripping off the powder. Peeled in, that the world's ours.
One on one, 7 the Truth, Tory Lowe Show. DJ Brother Z on the ones and twos. Look, I'm finna open up the lines, Truth Nation. I got a question. And I need y'all to open up your ears, okay? I saw this question, and it made me raise an eyebrow because I've seen it happen in real life. But this is the question, Truth Nation. Is it okay for your, I'll say significant other, your partner, to date your best friend after you die? You know, it happens a lot, but a lot of people was weighing in on this conversation, and I've seen and heard a lot of different responses. But let's say you pass away and your spouse or your partner or your girl or your male or your husband hooks up with your best friend. Is it okay? They may have something in common. They may be grieving together because you died or you passed away. And then they hook up because they, you know. DJ Brother Z, if you died, is it okay for your best friend to date your significant other?
Nah, because they do it without me being dead, so.
Oh, wow. But you gone, though. I mean, he might, y'all, they may have sentimental bonding.
I don't care.
Okay, you might as well, you want her to just go try it on her own and get somebody else
at this point. But yeah, that's I got problems with that. So
because
I have people that do that.
Right. I look, it's going on.
Like I'm saying, like they do that now, and I'm alive.
Somebody
trying, like
listening to the show right now with their buddy girl.
It should be some that girl, you know, I cut you off for.
Guy, I mean, I want to know. 833-212-1017. Talk to text 833-212-1017. Is it okay for your significant other to probably engage with your best buddy, your bestie, after you pass? Now, it's going on while some people are alive, too. I'm going to just open up the lines. 833-212-1017. Talk to text 833-212-1017. Black Conscious.
Yo.
You on the new 101.7 The Truth. Tap in.
Because I'm black and I'm black because I'm black, y'all. Knowledge yourself in good health, King. What a crazy question this is. What you going to do? You dead.
Right.
Come back from the... What you going to come back ghostly? Ooh, leave him alone. Take the bed while they...
Hey, you might come to the dream. Dead. You could probably come through the dream.
I don't have an issue with it because if their hearts... I'm gone and I'm moving on. I'm up in heaven kicking it. Or I'm in some area that I'm at peace with kicking it. And hey, if she finds it, they find it in their heart to get together, at least they know somewhat of each other. But that's just hypothetically.
Right.
But if you that thirsty, or let's just say, you know, you feel, you know, obligated to help your brother out, okay. I would prefer more being him than anyone else.
Mm.
After all, it's not going to bother me none. I'm dead. I'm gone. I'm out the picture. So move on with your life. If it happens to be my best friend, who I trust more than anyone in the world,
yo, God.
Besides my spouse.
Somebody that had your back.
Now, if you know your guy to be a stand-up dude, a righteous dude that take care of his business, I definitely don't. Now, if he ratchet, he out here, you know, what's the boy, what they call them boys, F-boys.
Oh, wow.
He all that, you know, and he's, irresponsible. You know, he got one of them, yeah, where he just do whatever, you know, he's scratching down there and all that. No, man, stay the hell away from mine. I'm coming back.
Well, that's hold on, wait a minute. That's your fault because you got boys like that coming around.
So, exactly. Now, again, I have a problem. I have a partner. Him and I have been knowing each other, man. I just want to say, since about 12 years old.
Uh-huh.
And we went, you know, and I trust my brother. And, yeah, I would feel comfortable with that.
Okay.
I would rest in heaven or wherever I'd be. But what could you do if they do get together? Nothing. You dead. Now,
hey,
if you're alive,
hold
different.
On. I watched the movie Ghost. Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, uh-huh. That European crap. Go ahead. You know, go ahead. You know, you know what I'm saying? Come on, man.
I'm just saying.
But again, Tori, listen to the logic in this. If you did, what does it matter? It don't matter who she's with. You ain't going to have no opinion, no voice, no nothing. Now, again, you may find some energy to come back ghostly. But she ain't gonna do nothing but go get an exorcist and chase your butt out with that sage and all that.
She ain't gonna welcome you back if you come back from the dead.
Right. She gonna sage you down, go get execution exorcist to come get rid of your butt so she can go and do what she gotta do.
Spray some roach spray in the sky.
Let that man or woman live their life. And, hey, I tell my wife, I say, go find you a love.
What?
If you choose to be with somebody, yeah, man, I'm dead. Open your heart to someone else. But if you don't, okay. I'm gone. Hey, live your life. If you see another that interests you and I'm gone, now if I'm here, I'm blowing this place up.
Okay, yeah. But that's why I said after you pass away.
Yeah, that's the question. If you pass away.
Right.
Yeah, brother. Now, let me let another call get on here and show what they would do, because it's funny. They ain't going to be able to do nothing. Again, America, Milwaukee, you're dead.
Hey. 833-212-1017. Talk to text 833-212-1017. When we come back from break, we got callers on the line. Is it cool if you pass away for your bestie to get with your girl, get with your guy? Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
More of the Tory Lowe Show is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. More of the Tory Lowe Show is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
That my best friend, she a real bad bitch, got her own money. She don't need no on the dance floor. She had 2-3 drinks, now she twerking. She throw it out and come back in.
That's my best friend, she a real bad bitch. Drive her own car. She don't need no lift in a strip club. No, my girl gon' tip. Now she twerking. She throw it out and come back in.
101.7 The Truth. Tory Lowe. Tory Lowe Show. DJ Brother Z on the ones and twos. Question of the day. It's Friday, DJ Brother Z. Hey, is it okay to date your best friend's spouse after they pass away? Is it immoral to marry, to go on and get married? I don't know. I'm asking Truth Nation. Would you want your best friend to hook up with your significant other if you pass away? Would they be in a more loving, caring situation? I guess that may depend on who you hanging around with. 833-212-1017. Talk to text 833-212-1017. Al, you're on the new 1017 The Truth. Tap in.
Well, I'm going to start it like this. It ain't no fun if the homie can't have none. I'm going to say, go right ahead. Matter of fact, bust it open and wear it out.
What?
Ain't who ain't nobody around, so you might as well go on and get it. Because I'm a firm believer, when the flesh get weak, your body will do whatever the hell it wants. So don't sit here and try to play goody two-shoe, because that person, or I'm not around. I want you to do everything that you big enough to do, because you might have more fun since I'm gone. You might have a better life. You might get the youth pulled out of you or the youth put in you.
Stella got a
so
girl
I want
back.
You to do, I want you to do everything you big enough to do, because if the shoe is on the other foot, I'm going to do it. And may you rest in peace, because I'm going to rest right after I get done.
Oh, so do you, wow.
And that's how I feel about it. Whether it's the grandmama, the mama, or the creator, or the foundation of the family, go big, go home. And as I said, it ain't no fun if the homie can't have none, because some of that is already going on. Menage a trois, orgies, gangbang.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on out here.
So I feel, hey, go heavy, go hard. You're dead. What you going to do? Get upset? What you going to do? Open the cans?
Well, they family might get upset. The family members, if his kids involved, what do you say to the kids if his kids involved in this?
Well, the only thing he has to tell the kids is, I'm going to respect your mother. As long as he does not touch the kids and he respect the kids and the kids' mother, that's all that happens. Think about this, Tory. What about the wife who don't know that those kids are by her husband across the street is actually his? Dang. So even if kids involved, as long as he respects,
and they show up
the
at
kids,
the funeral.
There you go. Bruh. As long as he respects the kids and respect the mother, everything is fine. Like I said before, it ain't no fun if the homie can't get none. Do you, boo?
So the homie next in line, if you die, you already know where it's going.
Hey, go right ahead. I'm gonna give you a standard of action.
Choose your best friends wisely.
Well, think about this. If you're dead, all you can do is watch. So what can you do? You might learn. You might figure out why you're happier with him and not you. Have you ever thought about that?
Hey, I ain't thinking about nothing if I'm gone. Hey.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, hey, have fun.
All right.
Law is law. Do you. Have a good one.
All right, Al. Have a fun, safe weekend. Whew. I mean, can you imagine, like your best friend been around you, been around the family, you know, if his kids involved, how do you sit down at the table and be like, hey, you know, this is what's happening. It's a lot of things that can happen, but hey, 833-212-1017, talk to text, 833-212-1017. Is it okay to date your friend's spouse after they pass away? Some people don't see nothing wrong with it. We got two people that say they ain't seen nothing wrong with this. We gonna head to the lines. Winky. On the new 101.7 The Truth, tap in.
Good afternoon to you, my man.
How you doing, Brother Winky?
I'm blessed. Black conscience kind of hit it on the head. You did. Ain't nothing to be said, really. You know, you out of there. He hit that part on the head. But the morality of it all is if you had children and you know he'd been by the house kicking it with y'all,
right,
watching games.
At the barbecue?
What do the children? At the barbecue, right. How do the children look at the mother or the father or accept them? What if he was the godfather? You understand? And then what people say. Conversation, you know, people talking, you know. Besides that, I wouldn't want a dead man's broad, no way, unless I was in the street and pushed up on it and found out she was a widow, you know. But just me knowing that this was something just happened or dead, that's like pulling your buddy's girl that you in jail and he trusting you to take the money and look out for him while he in jail. But you know what you looking out, you looking between them, you know what I'm saying? So I mean, same thing. I had, I know somebody was in jail down in Sturtevant. He gonna call the guy and tell him, tell his girl, pick my guy up from Sturtevant. And you know about that pendant, don't you, man? So leave my. So whatever he did, whatever he said, and he was talking like that to the guy, and the guy said, "Yeah." But by the time they got back to Milwaukee, they was already at the hotel. And you know what I'm saying? And he was just getting out of Sturtevant. You're right. So I'm gonna tell you like this: it looks bad. How do you explain it to your children? How do you explain it to your children when they look at you, mom and Billy, you know, dad's best friend? Okay, and he might have been the godfather, or she might have been a godmother. I don't know. It looks bad. I think you can go find something else. You know what I'm talking about? That doesn't have that stigma with it. I think if your game is really that good, you can find something else better. And you know, if she needs something, hey, I'll look out. But as far as we dating and all of that, right? Come on, man. Your boy been in that, man. Unless you guys were potty trained, you know, potty trained animals anyway. You know, did the train thing all the time and the threesomes and all of that crazy, madness. Madness.
Here we go.
Even a player understands their boundaries. You understand that? Even a player know when it's boundaries. That's why I get so upset when I hear other people just rattling off at the mouth, making all kind of, you know, real comical stuff, but about serious issues. Real players understand, man, that there is boundaries. Okay, and a person with no boundaries is a person that is like a heathen
with no rules. With no rules, they just out here savage.
Yeah, that's the kind of person you want to stay away from. You want to keep your peoples away from. You definitely don't want your children listening to because they sick. You understand? And guess what? For some of them, it ain't even no cure, baby. So what I'm going to do, man, I'm going to take a pause for this call, and I'm out. I'll be listening.
All right. Thank you for tapping in. Have a fun, safe weekend. Hey, all right. I guess, you know. All right, look, when we come back, we got another guest sliding through. Truth Nation. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
It's the Tory Lowe Show on 101.7 The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Drop top Porsche, Rollie on my wrist, diamonds up and down my chain. Cardi B, straight stunning, can't tell me nothing. Bossed up and I changed the game. You see me? It's my big bronze boogie, got all them girls shook. My big fat, got all them boys cooked. Huh. We're from dollar bills, now we popping rubber bands. Bruno Sang, tell me while I do my money dance. Like, hey. Flexing on the gram like, hey. Hit that little John, okay. Okay. Oh yeah, we dripping the finesse and getting paid.
Ow. Ooh, don't we look good together? There's a reason.
watch all night long. Ooh. Yeah, I know we'll turn heads forever. So tonight I'm gonna show you all. When I walk with you, I watch the whole room change.
101, saving the truth, Tory Lowe, Tory Lowe Show. DJ Brother Z on the ones and twos. And we got guests in the building. We got Jessica Curry in the building. And she's running for 7th District.
Yes.
You made it into the general.
I made it. Yes.
And now you grinding. You out here trying to convince people to put you in the seat.
Absolutely. So I'm coming in as a independent candidate. I don't have any endorsements whatsoever. Mm-hmm. No sponsors or anything. So this is all grit and grind.
Right. And this is what we want. Independent.
Yeah.
People in there that can be more in tune with what's going on in the neighborhoods.
Yes. Absolutely.
Now, were you surprised that you made it through the primary?
I wasn't really surprised because I know I was out there. I know I was putting in the footwork and things of that nature. And one thing about me, a go-getter. So I was going out there and I was getting it. So I was getting a great response even when I was out there. So no, I wasn't really surprised. I was surprised I came in at number two against DeAndre. I was thinking it was going to be, you know, possibly Ken or, you know, the other guy.
Now that you're in the general election, it turns up.
Yeah.
And everything changes. It's two. I always tell people it's two sides to running for office.
Yeah.
It's the primary, that rat race.
Yeah.
And then it's the final two, and everything counts at this moment.
Yeah, I see that. So one thing about myself, I'm really faith-driven and whatever the case may be. And I'd have had opportunities where I have been able to gain supporters of other people race. And they're like, okay, we want to go with you. And I don't disclose people literature. I don't disclose people yard signs or anything like that.
Oh, I remember when I ran, they used to pick up my yard signs. Mm-hmm. And I used to come back and my yard signs would be gone.
Yeah. So
get dirty out here with the yard signs and the flyers.
Yeah. I dealt with that a lot.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I think that many times, you know, when we don't get to hear about certain things that go on out here when it comes to running for office, especially if you're not a part of the establishment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and then you get to see the ugly side because as you knock on the doors and the businesses, when they talking to you, you know, many times, well, when you have an incumbent, they'll say certain things, but yeah. There's no incumbent in the 7th district. Mm. There's just, this is an open seat.
Yeah.
So, hey, look, we appreciate you for running as an independent. Because I always say we need independent people in these seats because it gets too political many times.
Yeah.
And they lose sight of what needs to be going on with the people on the ground.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So one thing about me, I already have a footprint in the community. So with my food pantry, my drop-in center, with my community baby showers, my community give backs, I'm community driven.
Right.
So, and it's like with my opponent, he don't have no community experience at all. So it was just kind of like, how did this happen? So it also, you know, just kind of make me wonder a little bit, but all is well and whatnot. And, you know, whatever's for me is going to be for me and whatever's for him will be for him. So he's a great guy and whatever to say, whatever. But
what are some of the things that your talking points right now when you're talking to the community that you're trying to serve?
My talking point is reckless driving a lot of times because when I go to door to door, that's all they talk about is somebody speeding through the blocks and things of that nature. And it's a mixed review because some people want speed bumps and then other people are like, I ain't got no kids. I don't want no speed bumps over here. So it's kind of like mixed reviews in regards to reckless driving. And then also the cost of living. So a lot of people are dealing with absentee landlords where they have to be out of the house within 28 days. And we're not talking about young people. We're talking about seniors.
Right.
So a lot of people are affected by just financial issues.
It's a lot of evictions going on.
A lot of evictions. Yeah. So that's pretty much.
In the district you're trying to serve, what would you say is the major concern? Like, other than reckless driving, I'm talking about like just living in the neighborhood. Is there anything that sticks out that, you know, that's beyond the mainstream talking points? The more frontline type work.
Yeah. So what's not being spoke about is the missing kids, sex trafficking, That's pretty, in homelessness, those are three things. So sex trafficking, the missing teens, and homelessness. I never hear nobody ever speak out about those things. It's kind of like it's swept under the rug.
Wow.
I don't know why they don't want to put a light on it. I'm not sure, but it can get creepy. It's a rabbit hole.
Yeah,
it's
definitely a rabbit hole.
And, yeah.
You know, I'll say this as a person that was out here being called to some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start digging through a lot of this stuff, you'll find out it goes way up the ladder.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are involved in that that are not on, you know, the low end of it. I'm talking about politicians, judges, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Brett Blomming, the circuit court child court judge, mm-hmm. that got caught up.
Really?
You know, with child pornography and all this. So, like, it goes up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a one guy, Curtis Smith, that was appointed to some kind of, you know, board by Governor Evers, you know, mm-hmm. that had some of that stuff in his computer. So, like I said, we have things that are underneath.
Mm-hmm.
But then as a political idea, what is some of the things that you want to change with the 7th District? What are you coming in? What does your first 100 days look like?
My first 100 days will be I would like to go inside the schools. Because a lot of times we always complain about the teens and things of that nature, but we need to be able to have some type of resource navigator, not only just for the students, but also for the teachers. Because there's so much going on that's not being spoke upon, and I feel like we need a resource navigator that can help assist the students and just bring relief to the teachers, because the teachers, they already not getting paid enough, but now they have to come in and be the doctor. They got to be coming and be the counselor. Like, that's not what they getting paid to do. They getting paid to come and teach the kids. And that's not going on, because I actually just spoke with some officers and they did the study. They asked the students, they said, hey, if any of you guys seen a dead body, stand up. All the kids stood up.
What?
They said, anybody ever witnessed somebody get shot? Stand up. They still were standing. Like, issues like this that's not being addressed causes trauma. And it's a cycle that we have to end. So my first 100 days, I can see myself inside the schools. That's my...
And trying to come up with things to implement.
So the resource navigator, that would be something that I want to have in all the schools inside the 7th District.
Hey, look, is there anything that you need the people to help you with? Like, with the campaign, how can they get involved in your campaign at this point?
Just pretty much supporting with a yard sign.
Where can they get the yard signs from?
I drop them off. I drop them off.
What's your email address? What's your connection? Well, how can they contact?
Jessica Curry, 7, the number 7, D, the letter D, at gmail.com.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Hey, look, keep grinding. Hey, look, I love the independent spirit.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you are able to be in the general election. A lot of people didn't make it.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, some of the people that, you know, I thought certain people would be in the general.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I really never met the other guy that you're running against, mm-hmm. I guess. I mean, I never seen him out when I was out. But what I'm saying is continue to do what you're doing. Continue to do the great work.
And I do have something to say. So coming into this, the politics of things, I did not know that this was like an egotistic thing. I thought people really did love their community. But the deeper I get into it, it's like, do you want the job to help the people? Or do you want the job
to
really
yourself.
Help your... No, because I'm not calling nobody lame or nothing like that, but I'm just saying a lot of people, it's like they want the popularity, they want the stats and things of that nature. They don't really want to help the people. And I'm not just talking about all the people. I'm talking about all the people almost that's elected. Like, I done had conversations with people that's higher than all the people, and I done sat with them, and it's like, what do you feel about the seniors? What do you feel about the youth? And when I hear the response, it's just like, wait, they voted you in. Do they know that you feel this way about basically feel like they, you know, nobody. So I'm like, I wish the people knew and could hear the things I hear.
I be trying to tell them.
Do your research. That's what I want to tell you guys. Do your research. Make sure the person you electing have stomping ground in the community as that's really for the community and by the community. Like, not nobody that's just in it because they educated themselves, but actually have the lived experience, not the learned experience.
I agree. Hey, look, Jessica, I appreciate you for coming through. Hey, and it's election time. Hey, come through next week sometime. Truth Nation, we have Jessica Curry in the building running for 7th District Alderwoman. All right, when we come back, we'll have more conversations. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.